Okay, it's Thursday, February 13th, and I'd like to call the Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting to order, and it's 4:04. Roll call, Fred Ariza,
Here.
Hallie Hughes.
Here.
Yes. Did I say your name right?
You nailed it.
Hallie. Okay. I was practicing it because I knew I messed up last time. Doug Jennings,
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
Ryan Thomas,
Here.
and let's see, we're missing Susanna. Chris Yarder present, so we do have a quorum. Let's move on to item two, chairperson's report. So I'm going to get started on the annual report during the next couple of weeks because I don't have any meetings. I always have all my meetings at the beginning of the month. So I'll get started on that and see how far I can get. Brittany, were you going to get some things from some staff members, or should I just go by my notes?
I Maggie graciously gave a provided us a little summary for finance. But Frank, he was tied up working on our annual report, permits. So
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. I'll go over notes. Trevor,
I'll reach
you've
out again, and see if we can pull something together, but I can help too.
okay, and I've got lots of things from Christina and all that good stuff. So, all right. And if for all of you, we're getting. What is he? He's Deputy Director Carlos Pat Tapia back. So, pretty excited about that. And if you
Yes.
don't know him, you'll get to know him. So, and you're smiling, Carlos. It's all good. It's a good thing. All right, let's move on to item three for the director's report. And you're going to take us down the line, starting with the new name, right?
Yes. So some of you may or may not know. But as of January 16th, I believe January 16th, the Department of Environmental and General Services has been split and has been reverted back to what it used to be, two departments, two separate departments that were consolidated back in 2016. So General Services goes back to be in General Services and on their own, which includes facilities, fleet, architecture and engineering, the energy office. So all of vertical constructions, city maintenance for facilities and vehicles, it stays with General Services. As part of that change too, as well, they're moving the Office of Real Estate that essentially was embedded in Department of Transportation, and they have essentially moved that in to General Services. The other change on that is we're splitting essentially within that the functions of environmental, I would say assessments or environmental programs. So within Environmental Services, we will essentially keep everything that is landfill related, groundwater monitoring, landfill gas monitoring, and landfill compliance. But any other functions related to environmental investigations, due diligence, investigations, all that is that used to be embedded with Environmental Services even before we did the merge, all that is essentially is being transferred over to General Services. So if so, what is that? What does that look like? So all your stormwater permits, your sewer permits, sewer interceptor permits, your generators, air quality permits, all that stuff is now shifted to general services. So one of our team members, or Ursula, who is one of our environmental scientists, she is then now move over to the general services side of things, overseeing their environmental program. So that's where it also to include as part of that is all the brownfields programs, not only the assessments, but also the revolving fund loan that essentially was funded through brownfields. So our focus or our line of business is just going to be environmental services focus, which is really refuse, recycling, collection, your specialty programs such as a food cycle at home, glass collection and have to renew, and landfill operations. So that's really going to be our scope of work moving forward, and it's pretty much in line to what it used to be back in 2016, with the exception of what just mentioned about the environmental assessments. And at that point in time when we did the consolidation is code enforcement too. So code enforcement also essentially is migrated out of environmental general services to planning and development services. So that's basically what the overall split looks like. We still are going through working on the new budgets, still trying to reconcile personnel. So that's still, it is work in progress. So hopefully in the next couple pay periods that dust will settle and we will be just essentially revert back to environmental services. Chris, to your point, Pat Tapia, who used to be the deputy director here for us, we loaned him to Phoenix because Phoenix needed a lot of help with a lot of stuff. So he was on loan to Phoenix for a year. And so he came back to us as of February the 10th. And so he is coming back as a deputy director position, pretty much assuming the role that he had before he left to Phoenix, before we loaned him to Phoenix for about a year. So that's the crux of that report.
Well, Carlos, is Frank going to work for both, or is he just going to go over to...
So Frank, who is really Frank Bonillas, who's primarily is a landfill administrator under his wings. He had the environmental programs. He's still keeping, again, is all the landfill related environmental compliance issues. So we still keep a few environmental service inspectors. So all that function stays with us. So the only change on that, which is a major change for us and a major loss for us, is Ursula moving over to general services and helping them out with all the various environmental permits, environmental compliance, more related to facilities than anything else.
And taking care of the brownfields.
The brownfields.
Yeah, yes. Like Frank did. So he's not doing that anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So as we move forward as part of our reports, we won't cover anything about brownfields. We won't cover anything about code enforcement. So those are the things that not only relates in terms of reports, but also from a financial perspective, we won't essentially discuss those anymore.
Okay. Well, I still need to include them for 2024, of course.
Then. Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So next year is going to be a lot easier. And not quite as long. Who again is taking care of code enforcement?
So code enforcement it's essentially the primary person overseeing the program right now. Her name is Lynn Birkenbein. She is the deputy director for planning and development services. She's kind of overseeing it from a department level perspective, but from on the ground, day-to-day stuff, it's Lori, would be Lori.
Okay, so Lori's going to be in charge of that.
Right. So Martin he's reassigned back to his old inspector position. Everything related to code, it boils down to Lori.
Okay, and she's also doing the, is she still doing the VANS program?
That's correct. Okay. So yes. So what they did is they funnel all the responsibilities, customer service, the VANS program, and the code inspectors to Lori. So they identified just one point person for all those three functions, and Lori is that person.
Oh, good. I've got her phone number. So she knows I'll still bug her. Thanks. All right. So you're going to give us an update now on Sustainable Tucson and what they're talking about, the Hefty Renew program.
Sure. So as you may recall, a few months ago, Mr. Green, on call to the audience, presented ESAC with essentially a report regarding the Hefty Renew program. So at your request, just wanted to, yes, we wanted to really provide you what is really, really our perspective in terms of the report. So, and I'll probably go back a little bit on that and just provide a little bit of the background. But as you may recall, we started this plastic pilot program back in December of 2022. Just recently, as in the other part of 2024, we started seeing that essentially Bifusion was not able to receive or process all of our plastic material. So then we saw that their capacity was around 10 tons per month. And yet the city very enthusiastically was essentially generating about 20 to 25 tons per month. And it was really when we started selling essentially that program was, we started advertising as an all plastic solution. And we started bringing a lot of other plastics that was really not suited for Bifusion and not suited really for the program. So we ended up pulling back and we said, if we can't process a material, Bifusion doesn't have the ability, some of the material doesn't meet the parameters, we need to pull back and really find other partners that can come and help us to manage this non-recyclable plastics. We didn't want to take the position we're going to cancel essentially this program. We just want to continue with it. And so one of the alternatives would be that we identified the Hefty Renew program. So that's essentially how we started. We totally concur with the report, Sustainable Tucson report, that the Hefty Renew program does not address the root cause of the plastic problem.
Oops, we can't, we've lost you.
Okay, here you go. Okay, so again, as I mentioned earlier, is we concur with Sustainable Tucson's position that they have to renew does not address the root cause of the plastic waste generation. We do, contrary to what Sustainable Tucson thinks, we do believe that they have to renew provides a mechanism to address the climate and toxic impact of plastics that are being generated by repurposing the plastic material into a reusable material, rather than really manufacturing those products from virgin material. We do concur with Sustainable Tucson that we need to place stronger focus on reducing plastic waste. As a matter of fact, not just plastic, but all kinds of waste. We also concur with their findings that we need to transition more to circular solution, sustainable solution for our waste stream. And the way to demonstrate that is the city is really, by partnering with Bifusion and Hefty Renew, we're essentially are collecting the plastic that's generated in Tucson, turn it into a usable material. So we're really creating the circularity on that. I think Sustainable Tucson also tells us that we need to put more emphasis, which we agree, on the use of plastic, single-use plastics. But unfortunately, we as a city, we have very little control of the situation. We're kind of at the tail end of the useful life of any product. Our responsibility is to collect it, manage it, and dispose of the waste, and really trying to find a beneficial use out of those materials that at the end of the day has to be operational and financially feasible. And at the end of the day, there's got to be a market for that product. One of the major challenges that we are experiencing, and I think we're going to continue to experience that in the near term, and I'm talking near term, 3, 5, even up to 10 years, there is a lot more, and given in the global market, there is a lot of virgin material that is much, much more affordable than essentially recycled products. So that we're going to battle that. And I think we from the city have very little control of that. We can certainly continue to expand on really our education outreach really to reduce the use of those products. But we're just basically very inundated with all that material. We understand Sustainable Tucson's position that that some of the fossil fuel industry is really pivoting really to look at plastic as their major growth market. But again, on that, we from a city perspective, we have very little control of that market trend. We certainly, again, concur with Sustainable Tucson's position. We need to address the widespread use of plastics and the effects on the environment. Totally do that. We respectfully disagree with Sustainable Tucson's that the repurposing of plastics into alternative construction projects is not circular. I mentioned why I believe is it creates a circularity. Plastic is generated locally and is repurposed locally. And we concur with Sustainable Tucson as well that most plastic materials cannot be recreated to a new version of the same product. Most of the products are being recycled today, and that's really a definition of this needs to be corrected is most of those plastics are not recycled to something very similar to what they were, but there are downcycled or repurposed, and I think that's what a lot of times people think that by recycling a water bottle you're going to get another water bottle. Most likely you're not, and if you are, the shape of it or the composition is much much different. But we also believe that the technology is improving, and to that level is really what some of the investments that have been made recently, especially for the polymer facility in Vegas, that is essentially trying to move a lot of the materials. The other components that they touched on, the city is really trying to use pyrolysis and really use this plastic material really to burn it and really to run into incinerators. Just wanted to emphasize the city council has been very clear in their direction not to pursue the use of pyrolysis or any use of plastic materials for energy. We concur with all their suggestions and their findings, but I think it's really we have very little control on the generation of the plastic material. We're here really to collect to make the best use out of it. But in summary, I do believe that we can certainly do a lot better in expanding our public outreach and education really to reduce our use single use plastics. And again, not only plastics, but the whole waste generation as well. I do think that there's value of us looking at developing an incentive program for small businesses really so they can be a little bit more zero waste focused. And really totally concur with Sustainable Tucson's positions that in a recycling reuse program are not a substitute for reducing our waste generation per capita. So it's really how do we bridge what the industry is doing from a manufacturing perspective, from a consumer use perspective, and now really having us to really pick up the material, process the material, and find a beneficial use out of that, knowing that when we do that, there is an operational component that needs to be feasible. It needs to be financially feasible. And at the end of the day, there's gotta be an end market for that product. So and all three have to be in sync. And if they're not, then we have a very difficult time really making ends meet if any of those threes are missing, any of those three-legged stools are missing. So that concludes my report. Thank you for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions for Carlos? You know, I really don't know a lot about the polymer facility in Las Vegas. Do you think sometime you could tell us a little more about that and how it's working?
Sure. We
Okay.
can surely do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I'd be interested in that. And then of course, realizing that, industrial plastics are a lot trickier to recycle, right? With
Well, every single plastic is really is challenging because it's manufactured to serve a specific purpose, and depending on what the chemical composition of that may be different than other types of plastic. So even if we were to put them in a melting pot, they're not cohesive. It's not the same cohesive product, and at the end of the day, may not have the structural integrity for its intended use. May have a purpose for Y, but not for X. And then if you look at it from a consumer product, maybe the collar itself may not be the best collar, because then I can't sell it as a plastic container that looks good in the store. So there's a lot of variables, there's a lot of factors in there that most of the time you can't just recycle it. It has to be downsized into a different product that may not be as appealing as what may be essentially available.
Okay. Thanks. No other questions, right? Okay. Then let's go to the fiscal year 26 budget request. Carlos.
Is that an update for me?
Maggie, I could cover it, but maybe just if you can help me out, because I may struggle with it. But Brittany's, I don't know if you can open up that document.
Yeah, let me, give me one moment. Sorry. Let me pull it up. Have it open if you'd like me to share my screen, Brittany. Okay, thank you. Okay. Normally I'm more prepared. I did make you a co-host already, so you should have the ability.
Carlos, I'll share the budget memo and then you can start talking. Let me know when you
Okay,
want.
Okay.
Let me just find the share.
So I think, Ms. Maggie, if we can go to the second page. So I think the first page just doesn't have any major information.
Yeah, give me just a moment. Okay, here we go. The request is in the second portion down here.
So if you look at the spreadsheet, there's two tables, an upper table and a lower table. So the upper table just basically walks us through in terms of really what were the expenditures in 24, what was the budget essentially that we adopted for fiscal year 25, where we think essentially the projections are going to be in 25, and overall where we think we're going to end up. And so that's really what's noted in there. So most of those are on the positive end, but it's really obviously looking at some of the operational costs may be a little bit higher, and most of that is really could be attributed to equipment purchases that we are trying to move forward with it. Then if you look at the lower table, it really just basically talks about starting from, and I'm reading it from left to right, it's really what do we think the projected revenues are going to be coming in from the department. And again, those are not just user fees from residential customers. They also include commercial accounts, and it also includes landfill fees. So that's essentially, that's the projected revenue that we think we're going to be expecting to receive in fiscal year 26. Going back in terms of really looking at what are the recurring expenditures, and again, that's an all-inclusive, okay? It includes landfill operations, residential recycling collections, all the specialty programs, everything, maintenance, personnel, commodities, all that is essentially is embedded, and that's a $63 million ask. Separately on that is about $9.2 million for capital improvements, okay? Those are essentially, we set up some money aside for that purpose. And ultimately our essentially, our request is essentially, it's roughly $67 million. But we also need to look at and set, and that is essentially the base budget. That's what we consider the base budget. But on top of that, we need to denote and we need to differentiate other projects that may not fit essentially the recurring, the base budget. And so you see on that line item, which is to the, now I'm walking it to the right, to the tune of about $10.9 million. So all that money is essentially is really just dedicated for equipment purchases. And those equipment purchases not only include collection equipment, but in refuse trucks, but also include landfill equipment. Okay, so we're working through that because one of the things, the way we balance the budget is we identified what we think we're going to spend on capital, then we know what we're projecting in terms of recurring cost, and then ultimately we need to balance essentially the budget, and that figure, that $10.9 million, fluctuates depending on where we're going to be overall. Once we account for the recurring costs, once we account for the capital expenses, that's how essentially that number fluctuates. That number can change a little bit here and there until the budget is finalized, because they're still are making some adjustments to personnel, making some adjustments in terms of how much they're going to charge us for central cost allocation and other things like that. So, but that's in general what the information that we had, or Maggie had in early December, late December. That's essentially how we put the budget together. So overall, we believe that we are going to be collecting revenue set $73.9 million. Our recurring expenses, which includes the $63 million for operations, the capital outlay to almost to the tune of $10.9 million, that makes it flush. So those two numbers balance. And if you see at the bottom of that, we're looking at about $9.2 million. That is essentially those, again, to fund capital projects, but they're funded on a cash basis using our fund balance or fund reserve. Okay, so ultimately is money that we have in savings that we don't have enough money within our ongoing operation maintenance budget to absorb those expenditures. We need to tap into our savings to fund those improvements. We're not borrowing money at this point in time to do that. So everything is funded on a cash basis. So our ask for this particular year is $83 million. Okay. So I don't know if there's any questions so far. Okay. If we move down the line to the next page.
This the page you wanted me to go to?
No, Megan, maybe page three. Next page three.
This is three. Just from the attachment that we had in the PDF.
Oh, okay. So maybe the one where it shows the graffiti. The next page.
Is graffiti.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. So the only other program that we get from the general fund. outside of just general services, which I forgot to mention that we're going to keep, is graffiti abatement. So that's what we'll see. I don't know if we can see it at the bottom of the line or the next page. And again, the same logic, same structure. You got an upper table, lower table. And so the base request for that budget was we've been funded to the in fiscal year 24, we funded $760,000, somewhere around there. In fiscal year 25, around $690,000. And in fiscal year 26, what we're asking is the base budget. It's not moving, Maggie. I don't know if it's me or just.
Okay. Huh. Let me try sharing again and see what happened. Apologies to everyone. We're having some technical difficulties. Let's try again. All right. Okay. Can you
see? There it is. Uh-huh. Yep.
Sorry, everyone.
So again, it's really just, again, what it was in 2024, what was adopted, what the projections are for at the end of quarter two and fiscal year 25, the difference between where we think we're going to be and versus what was adopted. Now, as we move forward on fiscal year 26, we still kept the same, essentially the same base budget, but we are asking really for a supplement or increase for $300,000. That's just basically gives us a little bit more breathing room really to manage the program. So the ask is really being, instead of 661, it's more close to $950,000. So if you look at what was in 24, what we adopted in 25, then it just gives a little bit more flexibility really to just to run the program from a budget capacity.
And we had savings in the prior fiscal years because the expenditures were lower because, first of all, the costs for the contracted services were lower, but we also had a vacant position that was not filled. So that's why it looks lower than what we're requesting for 26. We are requesting the expenditure authority should Carlos decide to fill that position.
Ms. Maggie, would you mind covering the other section? The next one, page four, just that table.
Yeah, I don't mind at all. So we have our grant fund, which is Fund 503, and the grants need to be in a separate fund than all the other enterprise fund costs. So our EPA grants that we had, which Carlos mentioned when he was discussing the deconsolidation of environmental and general services. We have one grant in that fund currently, the revolving loan fund from the EPA, that is going to be transferred to general services and be managed by Ursula and her team as part of the environmental compliance on the general services side. The ES fund, or on the ES side, environmental services was just awarded a new grant from USDA. And that total grant is $368,000 with a $92,000 match. And it's a 2-year grant, but the bulk of the spending is planned to happen during the next fiscal year. So we had a very low amount for the fiscal year to begin with. That was just what we ended up with in our base, which is basically just equal to what we were allocated in fiscal year 25. But we need another $200,000 just to have adequate expenditure authority to pay for that, to spend down on that grant. And it's a USDA grant food waste reduction cooperative agreement pilot program, composting and food waste. So that's the name of the grant, the technical name.
The idea behind the grant is that we would partner with the Tucson Unified School District, where we would identify essentially 15 schools. We would provide food waste collection, bring that material to Los Reales, process it, put it into a compost, turn that into a composted mix, and then ultimately provide some of the composting back to the schools for their community gardens. So that's essentially the crux of that grant. If you don't mind scrolling up or down, or just so we can see what's written at the bottom. Right, yeah, up a little bit more. So as part of fiscal year 25 or 26, we are not anticipating or don't have any plans for any rate increases for this fiscal year. We are working with a consultant really to develop a cost service study. And we're hoping to get that complete by the fall of 2025. That's our plan. And again, working within what we believe the revenue is, to project the revenue, living within our means. The only thing we're funding out of that is really our capital improvements, as I mentioned earlier. One of the things we're asking, and just to continue to remind him, and I don't think it's going to go very far, is some of you may recall that back in 2017, some money was used from the Environmental Service Fund really to do some reclamation work at the old Nearmont and Caterpillar landfill in the Barrio Sinombre neighborhood. The total cost of that project was around $8.6 million. So we are really hoping or really to develop a plan on how we can maybe start finding a way on how we can help or help the fund, the ES fund out, and maybe start moving some of the money back to the fund. Again, that's a big ask from the department. I'm not sure if there's any appetite from the city manager's office, the budget office, or the mayor and council really to be able to do that. To us is important because it's, if we're spending money for capital projects and we still need we still have a lot of equipment needs, that would really help us offset some of that cost and not really drain down our environmental service fund. And then the other thing that we're asking is really for some leniency is it's really potentially maybe instead of being charged for the central cost allocation to the tune of $12.6 million, could it be a reduction of that cost that would be able to offset the payment of the $8.6 million? Again, that's a big ask. So money was used out of the fund to make essentially this this reclamation project. At that time was for economic development purposes. The plan was really to develop that site. Since then, the council has shifted direction on that. Their interest is really to donate a portion of that land to the Tohono O'odham Nation. The other part of that, they may develop that into a multifamily housing. And the ask is when all this was essentially decided, there was a commitment that the money that was taken away from the fund would be reverted back to the fund. And again, that's happened 7-8 years ago. We're just asking them to see if we can just replenish the fund to help us, again, offset our capital improvements costs, offset our capital expenditure costs, and not really drain down all of our reserves. Also, want to make sure that we keep in mind too that in fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 24, we did get a few rate increases that were scheduled to generate about $5 million worth of revenue. All that essentially was washed away by additional costs that the department is seeing. So before we were looking at a truck costing us $300,000, now the truck is costing us $600,000. So a lot of the stuff that was put in place, and then on top of that, the central cost allocation that went from roughly about $4 million to $12 million. So you had multiple effects that eroded that revenue that came to us in 22 and 23. So we continue to see cost escalations, not only in capital purchases, capital outlay, our equipment, but also our commodities. So just wanted to really denote that there's a lot of goals that are basically being placed in the department, but we don't have a lot of fiscal capacity to absorb those, but yet still the policy need really to institute and put in place a lot of the zero waste initiative programs. And that's what we have put those programs in place at a very low cost to entry level, such as the Have to Renew, such as the glass drop off, such as the food waste at home. So we want to move the needle, but at the same time, if we want to really make those citywide, then we need to make sure that we are properly equipped, not only from a personnel equipment, but also from a financial perspective. Ms. Maggie, if you don't mind scrolling down, I think that may... we're not really making any significant changes in terms of expenditures, pretty much remaining to what they were the previous years. We did ask for an additional 8 positions, I believe, and we're allocating those primarily to the landfill, which is essentially, I believe, 3 employees or 3 FTEs to the landfill. That is really just not to give us capacity in terms of we operate Monday through Saturday from 5:30 in the afternoon to 5:30 at night. We added a lot of programs in there, so we need to add more folks really to cover the shift, but also to cover the special programs. On the collection side, we are looking at really adding some additional folks really to help us with servicing the food cycle at home routes, but we also need to add more FTEs really to help us maintain the alleys. That's something that has been brought up to the council's attention. The council has asked us really to put in place a regular maintenance program for alleys. And so we're trying to essentially get that situated by adding more positions in there. One may ask is, well, Carlos, you have 49 vacant positions and now you're asking for 8 more. The thing of it is in one end, we need to make sure that we demonstrate that the need is there and that if we ever get to the point of filling those positions, that those positions will be available to fill those positions because they go along essentially with the program. And that's where we stand today, about 49 positions. We're hoping with all the work that has been going on and recruitments, we're hoping to bring that down in the next week to 2 weeks to about 21 positions. So that's more manageable, more doable, to be able to make ends meet better. So as we move down the road. I think that's pretty much it. I don't know if there's any specific questions that you may have, but that's very in general what we submitted. And again, I know some of you are used to looking at the budgets before. This is really coming in fairly fast. There's a lot of very limited information is given to us on a specific time frame. We got to develop, MAGHAS has to develop the budgets during the holiday season within 3 weeks, spit something out, and it's needed to be submitted to us or to them in a matter of weeks. And then what added more complications to it is really the split of the departments, split of the positions, and then really reallocating how those funding sources needed to be. Not a major stuff, but still it's easy on our side, but it's very difficult from the central financial system the city's using, make sure that the cost centers align. So that's what's really holding up a little bit of really just kind of formalizing that on top of the regular budget process as well. And so Maggie had to deal before, she used to deal with me, and now she's now has 2 different directors that she needs to split her time on how we're going to allocate the money, how we are going to allocate positions, and still with the same level of support that she's got. So I can't thank her enough really to get us to this point. I can't thank her enough for all her work and all her support on getting us to this point.
So this was presented to mayor and council?
Not yet. So this is really
coming up.
Well, I think we still have a long ways to go on that one. So from our end, we were asked to make this budget submittal last week. So we did that. Now we're scheduled to meet with the city manager's office and the budget office, I believe February the 24th, to go over and review that. So there's going to be multiple iterations internally, multiple iterations with the council, until essentially the city manager is in a position really to submit his proposed budget. I believe he's got to do that either the first week or second week in April, so that way they can move it through the city process on getting it adopted. I believe either tentative budget has to be adopted in June, and final adoption has to take place beginning of July.
Is there any way we could get a copy of this sent to us?
Sure.
Okay.
It was in your package, right? You guys got it in your packets, right? You should have gotten it in your packets.
Yeah, but it should have been one of the attachments.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
one of
the attachments. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I guess I missed it. Okay. Where are the sirens coming from?
I don't know. They're heading south.
Jeez. Okay. Trying to. All right. Any questions for Carlos? I know, Maggie, we had talked about, you know, having a finance meeting towards the end of February, but with Margot out, we'll probably need to postpone that. We'll see how it goes. If that's still okay with you and if you have time.
Yes, it absolutely is okay with me. And my email is on the email that Brittany sends to all of you. So you can.
I actually blind copy everybody, but I can forward your email separately, Maggie.
Thank you. And I'll make sure you know, and Carlos, you know, that everyone's in the loop by communicate with Kay and Margo and whoever else wants to attend. And we can talk about that. It may, again, with the deconsolidation, a lot of it's not as many moving parts for ES, but there are some moving parts. Carlos mentioned positions, and the budget office is still finalizing compensation in terms of what the rates for medical insurance will be, things like that. And all of those, the numbers are constantly changing. So every time we populate one of these tables, I'll go in, you know, 2 days later and the numbers have changed. It might make sense to just, until things have settled down and we've had a chance to meet with the city manager's office next week, as Carlos,
right,
and get direction from them, then
sure,
could have something that's more cohesive and gelled.
Okay. Because my suggestion would be is maybe not at the end of February, maybe March. I'm thinking more like March, April timeframe. Because I think is we would present our budget, there's probably going to be a few iterations back and forth on between us and the city manager's office and the budget office, and then ultimately be in a position that I think we're gelling. I think we're getting some direction. I think it's in the March or early April.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. No, we don't need to make things more difficult for you, Maggie. So, and also I just want to reach out to everybody on ESAC too, that if they're interested in joining Margo and I with the meeting with you and finance, that it really is interesting to see how everything works. So just let me know if you want to join our group, for sure. Okay. Now, let's see. Are we going to go over anything more, or is that, let's see, Maggie, are you going to go over the financial monthly report now?
I certainly can if you'd like me to. We don't have any big changes from last
week. Okay.
It's at your discretion, whatever you'd like. Would you like to?
It's up to you. I think we can all read the revenues and see where we're going. Does anyone have any questions about these? Yeah, no. We'll look it over. We'll look okay. it over. Yeah. Give you a break.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please give Margo my best when you talk to her.
Oh, I will. Yeah. And she keeps telling me she has plenty of help. So that's good to know. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's see, how are we doing for time? To item five, the subcommittee report. And Trevor, you want to give everybody a quick update? We had a long meeting and there's a lot happening. So
there is indeed.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So we received a presentation from Amanda Smith with Plan Tucson. She was joined by Eric Bieber and he was sort of just taking notes, but she took us through a very high level of what Plan Tucson is, what their process has been, and then sort of zoomed in on the pieces of Plan Tucson that are relevant to environmental services. And we had some discussion on a few different things, but it was a really good clarification that Plan Tucson is very high level, and they reference things like the city's zero waste plan, which is really where we go from that high level of Plan Tucson to implementation of some of those high level goals that are going to be talked about in Plan Tucson. So they're keeping things high level. And there's still opportunities to influence Plan Tucson. There's still meetings happening. But that was sort of the direction of conversation there. No big changes in the MRF report. We did get some preliminary good news last week. For the first time, I want to say ever. And please, Carlos, tell me if this changed, because it was preliminary last week, but we did our first quarterly audit last week, and the initial contamination rate was 19%. For anyone who has looked very deeply at our MRF reports, the magical threshold of when we get our excess contamination surcharge is 19.3%, and we get charged $1 a ton for every percentage over 19.3. So being under 19.3 means we won't see an excess contamination surcharge on our MRF reports for the next 3 months. So that is very exciting. Public outreach. We found out about the move and the changes to environmental services that were noted at the top of this meeting. Brush and Bulky by appointment. We got a little bit more information on that, and including information on how illegal dumping has increased year over year from 2022 to 2024. They're moving forward with pilots in two areas, may move into some other areas. And it was also shared with us that in Peoria, they have a similar brush and bulky program. And they sort of looked at the numbers and found that the participation rate up there was 28%. And it's one of the most costly services that cities can provide. So it was really clear that doing a whole citywide brush and bulky service is likely not worth the cost for the number of people that are actually using it. So this may be something that we expand as we sort of move forward. Valentine's Day tour of the landfill is tomorrow, Valentine's Day. I'm not sure if there are any spots open at this point, but it is tomorrow. And we are finally getting to do a reveal of the electric vehicle or the electric side loader. We were told February 26th, still accurate. So it looks good. And In addition to that, we're still waiting on orders from fiscal year 23, getting some other vehicles in and ordered, and a whole bunch of other stuff going on there. A little bit more on Biofusion. Everything in my brain is now suddenly escaping me. We didn't meet in January, so we had the groundbreaking on the 15th. That went well and was well attended. We had a lot of good folks out there. It was shared that we are still just dealing with a lot of illegal dumping, a lot of contamination issues in the roll-offs for hard to recycle plastics. Hopefully, once the new facilities open, Biofusion will do a little bit more sorting and we'll be able to determine what they want to do in order to get the material that they want. And then we also found out Pat is coming back. And that should be it. Let me know if I missed anything, Chris.
Nope. It was a good meeting. And by the way, I caught some guy just throwing in pieces of styrofoam in the orange bin. So I lectured him. He said it was okay, but I was pretty hard on him and pointed out where you can read exactly what you need to do on the side of the orange bin. So anyways, that was a teacher moment again for me. So, okay. Let's move on. Item six, any future agenda items you'd like to have added?
I think you
Well,
mentioned it,
you
Chris,
mentioned the
but
polymer.
the
Yeah,
polymer
the
facility.
polymer. Yeah, I'd like to know more about what they're doing there.
If we have any updates on the gas capture and everything with that, it would be good to hear where we're headed, if we're headed anywhere.
Okay, at the landfill. Okay. Yeah, at Los Reales. Okay. So are you going to still be helping out, like with the trees for Tucson and all that stuff at Los Reales, Carlos?
Yes, we're still going to do that. Yes.
Okay, I just wondered where are we going on that. Okay, here's that moment again. Know, quickly, I just have to tell you, I got saved from getting kicked off of ESAC because my 8 years were up. And Carlos helped me. I had been writing the city manager's office since last September, asking them to be more like the county and have more of a as needed situation instead of having it be so final after 8 years. And so luckily they're going to be looking at that because most of our BCCs are really hurting for members. And that would have meant me and Ryan leaving. And so it just sort of guts, it would gut ESAC again. And I'm always begging for more people to be appointed, but I guess people just aren't volunteering as much these days. So if you know of anybody that's interested, let them know because I keep writing the ward offices and the mayor and haven't gotten a lot of extra information from them. So, but anyways, let's go back to the elections. So we need to nominate a chair and a vice chair. And so the floor is open for nominations.
So to clarify, Chris, are you still eligible to be chair for
Yes.
now at least?
Yes, I am.
Okay, then I'm going to nominate you for chair.
Second.
Okay, I guess we do we have to do a roll call or just to all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Now I have to tell you that Margot got me into being chair after I'd just been on ESAC for a year. And it was really pretty overwhelming. And I think I had to get rid of all the strict Robert rules because I couldn't handle those. So luckily we could do the easy Robert rules. But I would recommend it if you really want the experience. So, and I'm getting old, so just not trying to guilt trip anybody. Okay. Let's open the nomination to for vice chair, and that's you, right, Trevor?
Technically, I haven't really done anything the last year, so
yeah.
That said, I am helping write the subcommittee section of the annual report.
Yeah. Okay. So the floor is open for nominations.
Trevor, are you up for it?
Yeah.
It's an easy gig if somebody wants it.
Yeah. You can... So is there a second?
I'll second that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. All those in favor, yay, say aye.
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 Okay. I guess I could be absent sometime, but...
you have yet to do that, Chris.
Well, I know I'm not as busy as you are, okay? So that'll work out. Item 8, call to audience. We have no one here. And then item 9, adjournment. So we're getting out of here a little easier. Thanks for all the updates, Carlos and Maggie. And I hope everything goes well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye to Pat.
Sure will. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night. Thanks, Brittany.